Okay, good morning, gentlemen. This beautiful wintry day. We are finishing up Perek Yud Aleph, and God willing, we will be venturing forth into Perek Yud Beis today. Almost midway through the Navi, but for, in terms of our classes, we're going to be almost finished because we're going to do a lot of skipping very shortly. But we left off with a difficult issue. We began to resolve this issue of how Yehoshua could leave over, or rather delay, the conquest of the land of Israel and not finish it off as quickly as possible. As we mentioned, the severe criticism that our rabbis had for Yehoshua. And basically, the answer we gave is because Yeshua felt that when he would die, the Jewish people would go off the path of Yiddishkeit. How did he know this? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, I know the Jewish people are going to go off the path of Yiddishkeit. And therefore, even though they didn't go off the path after Moshe died, but rather after Yehoshua died, because a student of a Rebbe is considered like the Rebbe himself is alive. And therefore, as long as Yehoshua was alive, it was as if Moshe Rabbeinu was alive. Oh, Sam, I found this map. You can have it back. I found it. Okay, we're good. So, therefore, Yeshua made the following orthodox calculation. He figures like this. He says, as long as I'm alive, it's like Moshe's alive. And Moshe said, as long as he's alive, the Jewish people are not going to sin. So I should stretch out how long I live, and then the Jewish people will not sin that whole time. So that was his calculation. So,
Rabbi,
yes, sir.
Even so, if that was his calculation, did he actually not do the wrong thing? Because that's not what Moshe prophesied, number one, and that's not what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted to do, for him to do something. What difference does it make what he thought if the Jewish people are going to do it sooner or later? Hashem told him to do that.
Well, Hashem told him to conquer the land. He didn't tell him how quickly to conquer the land.
He told him how long he's
going to
reign. He's
going to
live, right?
No, Hashem didn't tell him how long he's going to live.
So obviously you said he's going to live 120
years. Hashem promised, whatever I did for Moshe, I'll do with you.
So that's it.
Okay, so that's what was supposed to be. Okay, but Yeshua didn't interpret it to mean to the full extent. Everything, he did miracles, helped him conquer. He was a leader. He was with him. He was. But maybe the year is not the same thing. Maybe the years are not the same thing. And more than that, he felt that his mission was to do the conquest. And when the conquest is over, the conquest is over.
Well, he didn't do that at the end. He prolonged it. He kind of dragged on towards the end. So he did not do what Hashem told him.
Again, what did Hashem tell him to do? To conquer the land. He didn't say immediately. He didn't say immediately. You added the word immediately.
But that's what we were led to understand, and that's what
the mission was to conquer it. He did. He did conquer the land as much as possible.
The urgency was in the fact that Jericho and Ai were taken right away. And then when we went to the other one, the sun stood still so that we get it done. That means there was a sense of urgency.
Well, Hashem started off that way. Okay, listen, obviously, you know, there are certain rationalizations, but the Torah does, the Navi does say that he didn't desist from anything Hashem told him to do. Pasuk Tesvav says, Lo hasir davar mikol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. He didn't desist, veer off the path from everything Hashem commanded him to do through Moshe. So you see, on the other hand, he did listen to Hashem. Right? And even things he didn't explicitly say, he figured out. So he did do the conquest. But it delayed. It delayed. I mean, it's a problem. It's a problem. But you can't, to not listen means he didn't conquer. He did conquer it. He took a long time, that's all. So he didn't fulfill it, as quickly as he could have done it, but he did fulfill it. So fine, I'm not arguing with you. I'm not arguing with you. Okay?
Therefore, he did do.
Hashem did not say you have to conquer it in 5 months. He said you have to conquer it. He never gave a timeline. Hashem never gave a timeline. So he didn't give a timeline. So since if Hashem would have said you have to conquer it in 6 months, he couldn't argue. But Hashem says you will conquer the land, you will distribute the land to the Jewish people. And that's exactly what he did. The fact that he took a long time, he did not contravene Hashem's command. Hashem did not say conquer it immediately.
Why did we introduce the notion that he might have done it to prolong his life?
Well, now, because the Chazal are telling us why he didn't speed it up. He felt it would be for the benefit of the Jewish people to not speed it up, because as long as he's around, there will be, the Jewish people will not go off the path. And as much as you can do what you can, you try to do what you can. That's what he felt. His mistake was, you don't have to make calculations beyond what a Kaddish Baruch Hu tells you to do. So it was a mistake. We're not denying he didn't make a mistake, but it wasn't a gross violation in the classical sense of the term. That's what we're saying. So, and the truth is, he had some other sources from the Torah also to back him up, because Hashem says, I'm not going to let you conquer the land so quickly in one shot. It says in Sefer Devarim, you're not going to get it all in one shot. It's going to be slowly, slowly, lest you conquer it all in one shot. The whole place is empty. The animals will overrun you. See, the Torah itself says that you're not going to get it done so quickly. So Yeshua kind of says, well, it says in the Torah we're not going to get it done so quickly. Even Hashem says it's not going to be done so quickly. So obviously I'm doing the will of Hashem by delaying it. Because why would Hashem say it's not going to happen quickly? Hashem says it's going to be lot, slowly, slowly. And look, he sees it's going too fast. It's going too fast. So must be Hashem wants it to take a little bit longer. Hashem wrote that. Okay? So, in spite of all that, you're still not supposed to be smarter than a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In spite of all, even Hashem says it should take long. Hashem didn't command it. He said a reality. It will take longer. Well, how did Hashem know that? He knew that Yeshua would make a mistake in his choice. So Yeshua says Hashem knew what Yeshua was going to do wrong.
But Yeshua
had the free will choice. So again, it's a subtlety in mistake. It's not a conventional gross avera in the conventional sense of the term. It wasn't, I just want to live for my own personal benefit. That's not what it was about. He knew, and especially after Hashem said, see, you better disable the horses, you better burn the chariots, because those Jewish people, if they get a chance to make a mistake, they'll make a mistake. So he figured, listen, I might as well hold that off as much as is humanly possible. Okay, that was his calculation. Now, so the question is, where do we see the real problem? So there's an important medrash. If you have these sheets that I gave you, remember I gave this one with the map in the back? The map in the back? So on the second sheet, at the bottom, there's a medrash tan. No. Is that what I want? Yes. So there's a Medrash Tanchuma, the seventh source, says something very interesting. that's where it talks about everything that happened to Moshe happened to Yeshua. So the Medrash asks, why do you have 10 years less? So the answer is, and I don't want to get into the details over there, but it says, because Yeshua said 10 words before his Rebbe Moshe. And it says, When Moshe was commanded to appoint 70 judges to help him with his load in Parshas Baloischa, so they did lotteries. They took six names from every tribe. It was 12 tribes. He had 72 names. They pulled 70 names out, and there were two that were left out, Eldad and Medad. And they weren't supposed to be judges, not supposed to be prophets. What happened? They start prophesizing. They're doing something of their own wanting. And Yeshua got very upset about that. And he tells Moshe, my master Moshe, destroy them. So in the context of what he said, you know, the Mefarshim explained what are the 10 words exactly over here, which I don't want to get into. But it seems he said 10 words to Moshe, and was kind of out of hand. It's kind of out of hand. In other words, these guys were doing something they shouldn't have done. And it says, from here we learn that anyone who decides a law before his masters, his years are shortened. In other words, he was in front of his Rebbe. He's telling his Rebbe what to do. A student doesn't tell a Rebbe what to do. You know, you can tell the Rebbe, you may not be aware this is going on. I just want you to know. He's saying, Rebbe, you know, kill aim. Destroy them. Whatever destroy them means over there. It doesn't necessarily mean to kill them. But burden them with community service so they can't, they don't have all this free time. Whatever it meant. But one thing's for sure, Yeshua was telling Moshe what to do. And was kind of like paskining in front of his Rebbe, which is a shtickle chutzpah. So, and it happens to be 10 words, and those 10 words, he loses 10 years of his life. Obviously there's a combination of things going on over here. In other words, why was it that Yeshua, and I believe this Medrash is giving us the reason why Yeshua makes this mistake over here so many years later. How could it be that Yeshua would delay things? How could he make all these calculations? The answer is, you see, he did it with his Rebbe too. If his Rebbe did something he couldn't understand, he said, it doesn't make sense. We shouldn't allow this. Moshe wasn't reacting. Moshe sees the two guys prophesying. Moshe doesn't react. Guess Moshe thought it was okay. Moshe responded, I wish they would all be prophets. So Yeshua kind of, in spite of the fact, it's very interesting, there's a whole schmooze on, you know, how Yeshua was able to be the student to take over from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's quite a great enigma over here. Unfortunately, I'll explain, he had a tremendous amount of humility. To be a student of Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to have a lot of humility to be a makabel, to receive from a Rebbe. So he had that to the degree that he was the next leader. Right? But still, there was a little bit of gaiva that did undermine him. When he really thought it was the right thing to do, he stepped up and spoke his mind before Moshe. And although he didn't do that regularly, but this would kind of be a sign that this would happen again, where you kind of speak your mind. And he makes miscalculations on his part. And so that became a major problem. And this became Yeshua's mistake. You know, and what I think is so important to understand, you know, there's a famous story about Rabbi Tarfon. Gemara tells us Rabbi Tarfon was sick, very sick. And his friends, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Gamliel, and others came to visit. And when they came to visit, they saw that the mother of Rabbi Tarfon was crying. And she pleaded with the tzaddikim to pray for her son, to Rabbi Tarfon, because he's such a good son. And she proceeded to tell them, like, what he did was so amazing as a son, keep it of aim, that she mentioned one, you know what kind of good son I have, that me and Tarfon were walking in the street and my sandal slipped away. And I'm just going to walk on the mud or on the twigs and on the stones. So what did he do? He kneeled before me and puts his hands on, under my feet. So my feet walked on my hands, on his hands, and I didn't feel any pain by walking on the ground that was so jagged and rough, etc., etc. So you could see what kind of a tzaddik my son is. Please pray for him. So Rabbi Akiva heard this and says, you think that's something? Rabbi Tarfon hasn't even done half of the obligation that a son has to do to a mother. That's the Gemara. So it's a pretty funny Gemara. The woman's son is dying. She's asking the rabbis to plead on her husband, on her son's behalf. She says how great a tzaddik her son is, and the tzaddik is so heartless to say, you think he's such a big tzaddik in kibbutz of aim? He hasn't even done half of what he's supposed to do. So what's going on over here? So Rabbi Yashabir Salvechik gives the following answer. He said like this. He said, if you would have asked Rabbi Tarfon, you know, when he was healthy, whatever, ask Rabbi Tarfon, okay, why did God create you and what was your purpose? So Rabbi Tarfon would say, listen, I see myself as being one of the Baal Masaira. I'm a great scholar. I'm a big Rosh Hashiva. I'm a rabbi in the Talmud. We're giving over the Torah to the Jewish people. And it's an amazing thing that I do. And this is my big contribution. I'm soaking in all the Torah of the previous generations. I'm analyzing it. I'm transmitting to the next generation, which he certainly did, and certainly a worthy purpose. But when the mother told the great rabbis how he treated his mother, they realized that he had another or deeper purpose than what he had. And what would that? He would be the paradigm of what Kibud Eva Aim is all about. He would set the example. He would be the role model of what Kibud Eva Aim is all about. And really, you know, there was Rabbi Tarfon, there was Rabbi Akiva, well, they all were the ones who transmitted Torah to the next generation. But who would be the one that would be mamish, the role model of Kibud Eva Aim in this world? It would be Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon. If you asked Rabbi Tarfon, he would have not thought that was such a big thing. He figured, of course I have to do Kibud Eva Aim. I mean, first days you have to take Kibud Aveim. He didn't realize how great he was in Kibud Aveim. And he was probably thinking, but my most important thing is that I'm a transmitter of Torah. And kind of didn't even look at that other thing as even being a mission in his life. So therefore, when the mother starts pleading on Rabbi Akiva's behalf, on Rabbi Tarvin's behalf, and says, look what kind of tzaddik my son is, and Rabbi Akiva begins to hear, wow, you know what? They may not even realize, he may not realize that he has a special mission in terms of being the most excellent person in Kibud Aveim. So then Rabbi Akiva didn't give a curse, he gave a bracha. He said, my bracha to you is, Rabbi Tarfon hasn't even fulfilled half of what he could do regarding Kibud Aveim. And Hashem has to give him arichas yamim, a longer life, so he continued to grow in his developing his greatness in Kibud Aveim, so that he should live even longer. Right? So what do you see from all this? And you see this in countless ways. But you see that a lot of times we're not exactly sure what our goals are. And as much as we think we know what our purpose in life is, there could be other purposes that you're not even aware of. And we find this throughout many places in the Torah. You know, the people don't realize. Coming up to Purim, did Esther ever dream in her life that her mission was to save the Jewish people? You know, she felt the whole time she was in the palace of Ahasuerus, I got to find a way to get out of here. I got to find a way to not be made impure by him. I have to worry about my frumkeit. I have to worry about my yadus. And Mordechai said, no, you don't realize that you have a purpose. You don't even realize your purpose is to save the Jewish people. So quite often people go through their lives and they don't exactly realize what their purpose is. They don't even realize the purpose is staring them in the face. They don't even realize it. So Yeshua could very well have made the mistake. And remember, the problem with Yeshua is he didn't have a Rebbe anymore. He was the leader. You don't have a Rebbe, it's a little bit of a problem, right? And you could see, you know, that's when they made the mistake also, when they didn't ask Urim V'Tumim about the Givonim. You see that, you know, who was he? He wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. Not a knock against him. And who did he have to ask? Anyway, but what do you see? So Yeshua figured, I have one mission in life. Is to be the one who conquers the land of Israel and gives over the land of the Jerusalem land. And that's it. That's my mission. So that's my mission. As soon as I'm finished. I'm going to be gone. So his mistake is, who said that's your only mission? Who said that's your only mission? How do you know there's not going to be another mission? How do you know there's not going to be another mission? The fact he lived 14 years beyond the conquest and distribution of land meant there was something else. I can only suggest, and I certainly didn't see this anywhere, but it's very interesting. The mission Pirkei Avos says Ben Arboim Labina, that at 40 years of age, someone comes to understanding, and look, Rashi and the Bartanur over there, they talk about the idea that indeed it takes a Rebbe 40 years to produce a Talmud. It takes a Rebbe 40 years to produce a student who can mamish take over for him. Because it takes 40 years to really develop chachma. Even though the Pirkei Avos there is talking about, you know, from age birth till 40, which is certainly true. When you become 40, you get a certain amount of bina, you get a certain amount of wisdom. But if a Rebbe has a student, so that student not just to have general wisdom, but have the wisdom of the Rebbe and to become a leader as well, a Rebbe would need, you know, pretty close to 40 years to have the time to develop the next student. Without that, you can't develop the next student. So it's very interesting that you do not find that after Yeshua dies, there really isn't a real leader after Yeshua. There's no melech. There's no real leader. We go into the period of the Shoftim. The Shoftim never really was a general leader over all the Jewish people. You'll see that it was in certain regions over here. So it's kind of funny. If Moshe Rabbeinu is mamish the leader, he gives over to Yeshua, who's the leader, and have this gap of 400 years almost till we come to the next king. So I'm suggesting, and this could be wrong totally. Hashem should forgive me if I don't understand it. But to me, it could be his mistake was incredible. Yeshua's mistake was so incredible. He had no idea how incredible this mistake was. If it's interesting, if you look at the story from when Yehoshua complained to Moshe about these two people who were prophesizing, and that's where the Medrash is, says he loses 10 years of his life. So from that point on, Moshe had with Yeshua 38 years. Exactly 38 years. Because this was in the second year. The whole idea with the Slav was in the second year of their being in Eretz in the desert. So 38 and a half years approximately. And Moshe had Yeshua as a, who was his Rebbe for like kimat 40 years. Almost 40 years. 38 is pretty close to 40, right? So, but from that, that's the first time we really see Yehoshua is mentioned somewhere. He's mentioned, you know, as the Nar and as the student of Moshe, this and that. So, and from that time on, he had 38 years to be with his Rebbe. So, Taka, when Moshe would leave, he left the Yehoshua. He had the time to produce a Yehoshua. So why didn't Yehoshua produce another leader? Very simple. How long was Yeshua the leader of the Jewish people? 28 years. 28 years he ruled the Jewish people. Now, had he had another 10 years, he would have had 38 years. Then it would have been like a Moshe Rabbeinu who could have produced another leader. But he lost those 10 years. Why? Because he doubted what his mission was. The fact is he lost 10 years, as Chazal say, because he miscalculated what his mission was. He figures by delaying what's going on over here, right? By delaying this, that there'll be more time for the Jewish people to not sin and this and that, all these other things. Because he figured his only mission was to be the conqueror. He didn't realize that, you know what? Who's to say he didn't have another mission? Who's to say he didn't have another mission that you have to produce another student? See, he was so hung up on seeing this one mission in life. That's, he didn't even bother to think maybe there's another mission. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu said, I know that after I sin, after I die, you're gonna sin. And that could include even the student. It's Taka. So Yeshua, maybe he could be a little more clever. Maybe he could be a little more clever and say, you know, as long as a Rebbe's student is alive, it's like the Rebbe's alive, so let's think a minute. And if you, Yeshua, produce a student equal to you, do you think the Jewish people have to go off the path after you die? Produce another student. Why don't you make another student? This is another mission. Don't you see there could be another mission glaring you in the face? You have time to produce, you know, you're right. Moshe says, when I die, Jews are going to start to sin. Okay, as long as Yeshua is alive, because he was a student, it's like Moshe never died. So what's Yeshua doing? He's saying, well, I should have. I got to delay my death as much as possible. I have to delay the inevitable as much as possible. Why don't, because he only saw himself as a mission as the conqueror. He couldn't get himself out of the box. Then maybe you could be a Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe you could be like a Moshe Rabbeinu, that you could produce another student. That, for some reason, didn't get into his psyche enough. You know, and that's always the uniqueness of human behavior, how you can be clever in certain areas and not clever in other areas. And he was so worried that, you know, we have to draw out the conquest and draw it longer, so I live longer, so to avoid the inevitable as much as possible. But because this is all I can do is be a conqueror and a distributor of the land, because that's what God told me to do. And I have a proof. Torah says we're not going to inherit, do it so quickly. But the answer is, after all is said and done, even what the Torah says and even what we prophesize, but you know what? You got to do what's right. You got to suspend all calculations over here. Stop making calculations. And you should have thought that maybe you're bigger than who you are. Maybe you're bigger than who you are. And you're not just a conqueror. You're not just a guy who gives over land. Maybe your guy can produce a Talmud like Moshe Rabbeinu. And if he would have been focused on producing a Talmud as much, who's to say he would not have produced another Talmud? And if he would have produced another Talmud, then the Jewish people would not have sinned then either. Because as long as Yeshua is alive, it's like Moshe's alive. No? And if Yeshua had a Talmud of a great caliber, it's still like Moshe's alive. And who's to say the Jewish people should ever have sinned? So this really becomes a real tragic turn of events, so to speak. Why? Because Yeshua didn't see himself bigger than what he was. Didn't see himself bigger than what he is. He said, this is my job, and that's my job. But sometimes you got to think out of the box and say, well, maybe if this was your job, you think maybe you'd have to have another job. So it's kind of funny that sometimes people have humility in certain areas, but they don't have it in other areas. And in other areas, they can show a little bit of chutzpah, and maybe where they should show some chutzpah, they're not showing chutzpah. It's kind of Yeshua not showing the midos in the right place. In other words, he was good enough to be a humble student before Moshe Rabbeinu. Very nice. But he already kind of saw a little outburst of, on his own, you know, wipe him out, Rebbe. It's not so good. A little bit of that kind of initiative. But, you know, so initiative maybe in the wrong areas he had, but initiative in the right areas he didn't have. You know, in the right areas he didn't have. He probably thought, who am I to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, to make a new leader? I can never be that. I can never be a guy who's going to produce another leader. Well, maybe you could. How do I know? I see when you wanted to speak your mind, you did speak your mind to Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, if the guy was a total onav mamish, and he can never think out of the box, okay, you know, how can I fault him? He can't think out of the box. Never. He doesn't know how to think out of the box. But if he tells Moshe, he takes the initiative, he says, you know, we should wipe him out, you know. You know, Moshe, it's not proper. So it means Yitaka could think out of the box, and you don't always go by what's in front of you. So maybe you should have thought more than what's in front of you. You're not just the conqueror. You are Taka, someone who can produce a new leader, a new generation. So that's a real, real important concept, especially for parents. And because a lot of times we're looking, what's our mission? What's our mission? I have to do something really amazing. What am I going to conquer? What am I going to do? Where's my mark? And we're so busy looking for that mark. And what happens? You forget about your own kids. Maybe your whole mission is that your children should be Talmidei Chachamim. And that's it. And maybe that's your mission. Or maybe that's a second mission in addition to the big mission. You know. So sometimes we just don't see ourselves being more than what we are. And sometimes the results can be tragic. If you think about it, if Yeshua would have said, you know, Rabbeinu Shalom, I see what is destined. But you know, I'm gonna listen to your Ratzon. I'm gonna listen to your Ratzon. I'm gonna conquer them right away. Now think about this. The fact that he delayed this for so long, could he even have time to develop a Talmud? If he's developing the Pentagon in such an expanded way that it's now a 7-year campaign, how much time could he have to develop a Talmud? Not during those years, certainly not. And certainly, I guess the division of the land maybe took a little bit longer than it needed to take as well. You know, he developed governmental bureaucracy or whatever. I don't know. Basically, spending 14 years, you know. So then he figures, I'm going to die any day. So where is that vision to think of beyond you? He couldn't think beyond him. Right? But if he would have just said, listen, the Rosh Hashem is to conquer, he could have conquered everybody else in another 2 months. Couldn't give him the land away very quickly. And then he said, you know what? Who's to say I'm going to die right away? Let me start working on the next mission, even though I don't know what's going to come out. If he would have done that, you could be sure that Hashem wouldn't have taken 10 years away. If he would have done that, he would have had Mamish 38 years. The conquest would not, everything should have taken, say, Yeshua, less than a year. All this year. And then he was destined for another 38 years. What would he have done with those 38 years? If he would have, then he had time to think, you know, if he knew he would live another 30 years, I guess I have to make another Talmud. He will take over for me. But he wasn't in that mindset. Once you make one mistake, it just snowballs into, you get totally wrapped into that one mission. And he can, and who knows those last 14 years, like what really, we'll have to see. Kalev is going to challenge him later. And it could very well be for this purpose. Yeshua is not kind of showing that kind of leadership anymore of seeing for the future. And therefore he couldn't see beyond that. And that becomes a great tragedy. Great tragedy that he didn't use the time as wisely as he could, and it was with a very good orthodox calculation, you know, and that's why he didn't have any sons. Could be another reason I didn't have any sons, and it's the same idea. Vusev doesn't have any sons; he has daughters, right? So what was it? What reason did we give already why he didn't have any sons? Do you remember? It's escaping me just this moment, but I think you could say there's a good reason why he didn't have any sons. He had daughters, but he didn't have. More says because he stopped the Jewish people from Pur Avu. Remember, they were the ark was out of the camp, and he said nobody could be intimate with each other. I says, oh, you stopped people from being intimate with each other, so you're not going to have any sons. He had daughters, have any sons? Okay, that's nice, but he still had daughters. Because they didn't have any sons. So I think you can add on to this that this is part of the punishment. If he really would have been focused on finding another leader for the Jewish people, then he would have been really interested in continuity. And then Hashem would have given him a bigger continuity in having sons. Obviously, having sons is a bigger continuity than daughters. in terms of inheritance and all these things. We love daughters, they're wonderful things, but in terms of continuity, you know, if you're a Levi, you know, having daughters doesn't continue any Levis. If you have a Shevet, it doesn't continue your Shevet, right? So he lost a certain aspect of continuity within his own life because he didn't think of the continuity of the Jewish people that would be needed beyond. He couldn't think beyond his own self-perceived goals of what his mission was. And we have to have bitachon Hashem and figure, you know, that's going to be my whole job. I can finish the job over in 10 minutes. Think about it. If you keep thinking about it, how different is that from the sin of Adam and Rishon? How far was it? What was the sin of Adam and Rishon? Hashem says, don't eat from the Eitz HaDaas. That's it. Is that my whole mission in life? Just for the next 3 hours, not eat from the Eitz HaDaas, and I have no more mission? You should have realized, who's to say you won't get another mission afterwards? But this is it. This is all he's telling me to do. What did I do? I just didn't eat for 2 hours. Big deal. What did I do to contribute to that? So what did he do? He said, I know what. I'm going to make a bigger mission. I'm going to eat from Eitz HaDaas, have a bigger Yetzirah. Now you're going to see I did a real big mission now. So what happened is he messed up the world for the rest of the time. So Yeshua said, what's going on? I can knock him off in 1 year. What? That's it. I'm going to have 1 year. That's it. That's all I did. So I was that's all I'm going to be known in history as a conqueror. That's just a great thing. He gave up the land. He was a big Talmud Chacham. So he said, well, I guess if that's what I have to do, I'm just going to have to delay it and delay it and delay it. So that delaying never enabled him to be the person to produce a new leader. And that's why it's no coincidence. Now you went, well, we finished your Sefer Yeshuvim. Everybody's so wonderful and so good. Everyone's tzaddikim. It was wonderful. We go into Sefer Yeshuvim. Boom! It's the exact opposite. It's mamish, the exact opposite. And what was so clear in Sefer Shoftim is there was no leadership. It's the end of the day, who is to be faulted for that? God should spare me if I'm saying the wrong thing. But who's faulted is Yeshua. Yeshua is faulted for this. Because he was so focused on the one goal and didn't think to go beyond the other goals. And we have to learn from Yeshua not to make those same mistakes. Because we to sell ourselves short of what bigger, what we think may not be goals, but our goals, who knows to say that we're not endangering the continuity of the Jewish people as well. Yes?
Firstly, I think that's shot.
Okay, thank you. No offense, if a bigger rabbi would say it, I'd feel a little more comfortable. I'm not minimizing what you're saying, Rafal. But it's a chiddush. So yeah, when you're critical of a person of the Torah, you know, you got to really be careful what you're saying. So I'm saying it with. But anyway, go ahead.
But that's probably also the reason why Hashem sent the miracles to make the conquest happen so quickly, was to free him up from being his obligations of being the leader of Nechama to being the leader of Torah.
That's right. So that's why Hashem. Right. That's exactly why Hashem did things so quickly, because so he'd have time to do the other things and to continue to develop a new leader. See, he misread it. In other words, he's saying, oh, you know, this happens all the time. You know, Hashem made the people, Jewish people, when they were leaving, it was in that same, it's all in that same tkufa. When they left Har Sinai, Hashem in 3 days, he got them almost to the border of Eretz Yisrael. What was the reaction of Jewish people? Oh, we're too tired. You're running us ragged, right? We can't take it. Hashem says, I'm getting you as fast as I can, right? So Hashem is telling you, I'm doing this as fast as I can. Do you really want to be a military genius? Is that what your real goal in life is, Yeshua? This is just like, let's get past this. And Yeshua says, well, but that's all I'm destined to be. Right? So it's so funny. Hashem can mamish give you chesed, and you can't understand the chesed that's put in front of you. Because we're looking at the other agenda. We're not looking at things beyond. These things don't happen. You know, Yeshua's saying, you know, I'm a tzaddik. How much, you know, he's, how old is he? He's 80, he's, what do you mean? He died 110 minus 28 is 82. He's 82. He said, what's going to happen? We're going to knock him off in 1 year. I'm going to die at 83. That's it. That's all I was. I was just a conqueror. Not that he had gaiva, chas v'shalom. I don't think it's a terrible gaiva he had. Is that all I am? And more than that, did he see any leaders to take over after? It's a catch 22. He says, I'm going to die. There's no leader to take over. But I'm going to die after. In other words, he didn't understand it. It didn't make sense. He said, I'm going to die when I finish conquering. There's going to be no leader. The Jews are going to sin. So what can I do? So you know what? You say to yourself, Hashem, I don't understand why you're telling me to do this. To me, it doesn't make any sense for me to conquer so quickly, because if anything, things are going to happen terrible after I die. But I'm going to do what you ask me to do. And again, it's the issue of bitachon. Because he was really, and you could probably, he was probably very tormented. He loved the Jewish people. And his Rebbe said they're going to be a bunch of sinners as soon as he croaks. As soon as Yeshua dies, he's going to be a bunch of sinners. And he figures, all I am is a conqueror. So you can imagine how, like, I don't know, depressed or whatever he felt. He says, listen, I'm bringing not my death, but the spiritual demise of the whole Jewish people. What's the least I could do? Let me delay it. Let me delay the inevitable, and maybe after something will come up. So Hashem said, no, you should have done exactly what I told you, and then something would have come up. Don't make things come up. Do what I say, and then wait for things to come up. Then I'll make them come up. Don't take it into your hands. He took it into his hands. Just like it's the Moshe, go kill these prophets. Don't take such things into your hands. Just let it go the way it is. Do what you're supposed to do, and then let Hashem surprise you. And it could be. He could have wiped them all out and then figured, hey, I'm still alive. I guess I have a new mission. What could my mission be? I guess maybe I have to produce a leader. But after 14 years passed already, he was already older by then. You'll see later it says, Vahi Yeshua Zokain Vayomim, who was older. So at that point he was older, he felt, how can I can't do it anymore, because he wasn't in the midst of a big project. You know, it's funny, people retire at 65. You know, what do? They have nothing to do with their lives. They don't do with their lives. What am I going to do? I'm already over the hill. I got maybe, 10, 15, 20 years ago? I might as well enjoy myself. But if your mom is at 65 in the middle of a big project, imagine you're 65 years old and you're finished halfway through Shas. Halfway through Shas at 65. You say, well, I'm halfway through Shas. I'm going to make sure to finish the rest of it before I go. Yeah, but you're 65. You haven't learned one word of Shas. So I haven't even begun the project. Again, I'm going to start a project when I'm 65 now. The HR says, you're too old, forget it, you're not going to do it. So Yeshua, when he finally finished the conquest, he's already now 96. 96, do you think I can produce a leader now? Yeah, I guess you can't. But if you would have started 14 years ago, you might have been able to. So you got to be really, to the bottom line, it's the way it is in everything in the Torah. If you just listen to what Hashem does and let him do the worrying. Conquer the land, and then let's see. Okay, Hashem, I'm going to conquer the land. And now it's your problem that the Jewish people are going to sin, not mine. And then Hashem would have showed him an answer. So it's always that part of history that what would have been. So that was my suggestion. Yeah?
Can it work the other way too?
What do you mean?
Something takes much longer than it should be taking. Really, that was your tapas?
It could be competed. But that's if it's out of your control. Here, Yeshua purposely made it take longer. He purposely made it take longer. There's no need for that to have taken longer. Right. Yeah?
If you didn't listen to what Moshe Rabbeinu said, we mentioned a couple of days ago that when Moshe said, the Jewish people are going to sin when I die, you're going to sin, and he saw they weren't sinning, then we learned from that a person lives as long as his Talmud lives. So if he had put that focus...
That's what I said. Had he done it, would have been... Okay, so this obviously, it's much more complicated than what's on the surface over here. And we have to... Be more Ma'ayan, although I don't know any more sources to look at over here. Yeah.
Did Hashem ever instruct Moshe to produce another prophet, a leader? He instructed him to take the Jewish people out of Egypt and to bring them there and all that. That we know. Did he ever instruct him to do that?
There was no real instruction. There's no real instruction.
So that wasn't his own initiative to do it?
You know, Mistami, you have to say that. Well, it was easier for Moshe. Moshe was Rabban Shel Yisrael. Came with his job. He was the teacher of Torah to the Jewish people. If you have to say, what was Moshe's claim to fame? Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the Rebbe. Then we call Yeshua Rabbeinu. It's Moshe. His job was to teach Torah. So by definition, he would have students. By definition, he would have students.
But Joshua wasn't his mission.
He didn't think it was his mission. That's what I'm saying. He didn't think it was his mission.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Did Hashem ever instruct Moshe to create?
By definition, the fact that Moshe was the one to give over the Torah, so by definition, Hashem said, you are the one to produce the students.
Right, and Joshua
was. Hashem didn't tell him, didn't mean to say that Hashem couldn't have given him another mission later on. So it's not Yeshua's business to make, to figure out all of God's plans. In other words, bottom line is, what got Yeshua in trouble? He was thinking too much. He was thinking too much. Don't think so much. Just do what Hashem said. Conquer the land. Finished. What's going to be afterwards? That's not your problem. We keep worrying about things that we don't have to worry about. That's not your problem. Your problem is conquer the land. And obviously, think about this. The longer they delay conquering the land, now think if you, it's incredible. The more you think about it, the more, when a person makes a wrong mistake, then all of a sudden, all the clarity is gone. Once you start with that one first error, then everything else doesn't make sense, but they go through it anyway. Now think a minute. Hashem is, if you leave those Canaanites around, what is a great likelihood going to happen with a lot of Canaanites lying around? They will influence the Jews. There's no question about their influence to the Jews. If we wiped them all out in the first year, there'd be no influence. But he says, no, so now look, you're delaying the conquest because you figure, because as long as you're alive, the Jews won't sin. Hey, buddy, you know what? But as long as you're letting those Canaanites live, you're now bringing the seeds of why the Jews will sin after you die. So again, you know, once you make that first mistake, you don't realize, what about these other mistakes that you're making? Like, exactly what he did to delay the inevitable caused the inevitable. Exactly caused the inevitable. Because the inevitable was that they taka sinned. Why? Because he left the Canaanites around. Right? But Hashem gave him room to err, because he said, you better get rid of those horses, get rid of those chariots. Why? Because they're liable to make mistakes. Yep, they're liable to make mistakes. I better hang around. You know, who says that's you? Maybe it's Hashem. So that became the issue over there. Okay, anyway, it's a fascinating piece. Mamash, a fascinating piece. Well, it's no real time to continue. Tomorrow we will begin Perek Yud Beis, which there's no commentary in the Sefer Parshios. None. But we will have a little commentary what to add. Perek Yud Beis will be a shira, a song that Yeshua sings, and there's some very fascinating things over there as well. Mitzvah Shem, we'll do that tomorrow.